So tonight, I want to talk to you about something that some of you may disconnect from right away. And so I'm warning you now that it may be the case. So I want you to tune in anyway. And even if it's not something that you do or maybe you won't do in the future, maybe it's things you can try. And I'm specifically talking about it as a spiritual practice. And one of, what I'm talking about is journaling. And as soon as I said that word, some of you might have thought the diary of a 14-year-old girl. And that's not what I'm talking about here. Although that could be applicable also. But the context of what we think about sometimes when we think of journaling, when we're thinking of a diary, an account of my day and everything in it so that I can write my memoir when I'm 35 years old instead of 14. I mean, you know, not me personally, but the person writing the diary. Because I did not write in a journal or a diary or anything growing up. It is funny, though. My mom's going through and getting rid of all the stuff. I have four older brothers. And so she's starting to clean out her house of the last 75 years of stuff. And just preparing for, you know, the next stage. And one of the things, so I call myself a writer nowadays. I don't know if you know that, but I do write things. And in fact, I hope to turn this Behold series into a book at some point. But she gave me something from kindergarten, actually. This is the last time I was up, probably 3 or 4 months ago. No, Christmas time. She gave me something from kindergarten, and it was a story that I developed, like a little short story. I was in kindergarten, and I illustrated it. And I would have never, I mean, up until a few years ago, I never considered myself a writer. And up until probably 5 or 6 years ago, I would have never considered myself a visual artist. Now, I still can't draw, still can't paint or anything like that, but I do consider myself a creative. I do pottery and things like that. So, we forget some of these things as we're growing up. We grow out of them because they're not important to us. So anyway, that's a sidetrack that I don't need to go down. But some today view journaling as kind of a sentimental token, right? Something that's handled ages ago or last decade, whatever. Some people consider it it's a distraction of getting things done, right? You have to sit and write and something and remember stuff. So it's just a distraction from basically our crazy pace of life that we're keeping that we've been talking so much about. For others, it may be like keeping a diary, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's whatever works for you. And I specifically have kept a journal for many years. I would say it probably goes back to 2007, the copies of my journals. Now, sometimes, some seasons, I'll write almost every day or at least several times a week. And sometimes you look at my entries and they'll be 7 weeks apart. Generally, if they're 7 weeks apart, it's probably a time that I'm not very healthy emotionally. Because I've said it many times, probably during this teaching, is sometimes I don't know what I'm thinking until I write it down. And many times, probably most times, I don't know what I'm feeling until I write it down, right? It helps me process what I'm going through. And so journaling has really been invaluable to me, specifically in my Christian walk, specifically in my life with God and the way he's processing emotions in me, the way he's working in me. I have this later in my notes, but I specifically take time to review my journal at the end of every year. So I generally will go back about 15 months. So I'd go back to September, October, and I do that generally around Christmas to Thanksgiving. So I take that week or so, and I just read through everything I've written the previous 14 months. So yeah, that 2 months prior, the first 2 months I've already read, right? Because I did it last Christmas or whatever. But it just is a little bit of remembrance going into the holidays and then coming out of the holidays to help me see where God has brought me this year, the things he's dealt with me on, the things he's led me through. So before I get too far off track with my notes, though, I want to give you several reasons to keep a journal, okay? And these are just some quick reasons, but I'm going to give you some verses to go along with it. The first one is to journal to keep a record of life's journey, right? Keep a record of our life's journey. In journaling, we can remember the mundane, right? We can remember the exciting. We can remember the smells and the sounds of certain things when we journal about it. We can recall the funny things that happened, the humbling things that happened, painful things, the formative events of our life that are important to us enough to journal about it. They will be important enough for us to read about it in a few months or even a few years or even 10 years later if we go back that far. Now, I have gone back actually about a year and a half ago. I went on a writing weekend where I took every one of my journals and I just read through them. And I was looking for themes of what God was doing throughout the years and just trying to write down and pull out themes. And so I took about 8 or 9 pages of notes just going through. I put what journal it was in and I put a note, why is this important? What do I want to get from this? How do I hope to use this in the future? And so it was really cool doing that. That's the first time I've ever done that, but it was a really cool experience. There's a diarist, Andy Ashworth, reminds us that with the journal, she says, we have a notebook in which to be a student of life, our life, right? It's one thing to remember the general contours of our life, the general things that happen, but it's a whole other thing to remember with specificity, right? The specifics of the things that were happening, the laughs, the smiles, the smells, the tears, all of those things. So second reason is journal to have a tangible account of God's blessings. This should say journal to remember God's blessings. That would be an easier way to say it, wouldn't it? We don't want to be like Israel and forget the Lord and all he's done. Judges 8:34 tells us, and the people of Israel did not remember the Lord, their God, who had delivered them from the hand of all their enemies on every side. Psalm 106:21 says, they forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. And then Hosea 8:14 says, for Israel has forgotten his maker and built palaces, and Judah has multiplied fortified cities. So I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour her strongholds. We don't want to forget the things that God has done for us. We're 3 months into the Old Testament that I'm reading with a group. I say we, the people that I'm reading it with, about 8 or 9 people. And it is amazing how many times you'll turn the page and they turn their back towards God. And then you get to the next page before you turn the next one, God's smited them or something, and they turn back to God. And then they turn the page and they forget God and walk away from him again, time after time after time. And so it's a way to remember God's blessings. One of the beauties of corporate worship is coming together as God's people to recite what God has done. Author Don Carson says, believers who spend no time reviewing and pondering in their minds what God has done, whether they are alone and reading their Bibles or joining with other believers in corporate adoration, and I would add to this, or journaling in their journal, should not be surprised if they rarely sense that God is near. Journaling is a way to reflect and remember. And if we're not doing this, Don Carson says, should not be surprised if you rarely sense that God is near. I can speak to that in my life because, again, what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, that starts coming out when I'm journaling. And so when I don't journal, I rarely sense that God is near, except in extreme circumstances. And then I'm not nearly as grateful as I should be because I'm much more grateful when I write about it. Not saying that's right, just the way it is for me. Journaling is really another means of pondering what God has done, of tangibly recording his grace. And so the words you write will either serve to spur you on, right, towards greater faithfulness, or it'll be a reminder of an ungrateful life. And so when I go those 7 weeks between journal entries, it's a reminder that I'm not being nearly as grateful as I should be. This is me personally. So, number 3, journal to serve as a reminder of the sanctification process. We all need constant reminders that we don't become holy overnight. When I spend the holidays, 7 or 8 days, and I don't spend every day, but when I spend an hour or two a day over the time between Christmas and New Year's, reviewing what God has done, I can see how I'm growing spiritually. Especially a year ago, I go back 3 years, 5 years. I can see the things that amazed me then, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of like baby's milk. Why did that amaze me so much, right? But then 3 months ago, that's a little more like brisket, you know, meaty protein. And so it's cool to see that progress spiritually. So I had brisket tonight for supper, by the way. That's why it was fresh in my mind. So we all need constant reminders that we don't become holy overnight. It takes time and it takes energy. Now, I should have looked this up, but I didn't. I'm going to say Philemon or Philemon, however you want to say it. 2:12-13 says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." So this isn't talking about being afraid of God and trembling at the thought of what he's going to do to us, although that that might should be the case sometimes when we're doing certain things. But it's about the respect. It's about the awe. It's about the reverence of God, right? And it's we're not working to be saved. We are saved, and then because of that, we're working out of our salvation because we want to serve God. We want to serve his kingdom. We want to see his kingdom changed. That's what we're talking about, working out your salvation. So journaling can serve as a mirror then. When I journal and then I read back on it, and I almost always read back over what I write that day or maybe even the next day. So many times, and I've recognized this more and more lately, I'll go back and I'll read over the last two entries or so, maybe three, depending on what's going on. But I'll almost always read the previous entry and probably two or three back. That's for several reasons, which actually we won't go into tonight. But do what works for you. That really works for me. So journaling can serve as a mirror. It reminds us of things, of promises we've made, with promises we've broken, or even how desperately we need God's grace, right, to obey and honor him, reverence him, behold him even. And then fourth, we can journal to aid in prayer and meditation. Okay, in the age of our texts and our tweets and our posts and all the stuff that's going on, focused meditative reading can be difficult. After reading a couple of pages or a short article, Nicholas Carr, who is another author and creative, admits, he says, "I get fidgety, lose the thread, begin looking for something else to do. I feel as if I'm always dragging my wayward brain back to the text. The deep reading that used to come naturally has become a struggle." So journaling allows us to slow down. And I find that when I read a few pages and I come across a sticky point, is what I'm calling them now, a sticky point, if I take a moment and journal about that, why I feel like that's something that's prodding me and bringing some stuff up, I'm going to remember much more of that. I used to really be a big believer in read the book. If you can get two or three nuggets out of a whole book, or when you get two or three nuggets out of a book, put it down. You don't have to finish the whole thing. Drives my wife crazy, by the way, because I have bookmarks stuck everywhere in 35 books. I did clear all of my bookmarks out of my books about 3 or 4 or 5 months ago, so I'm going to have to start over in those books. It's not like I ever went back to them anyway. But if I can do that, if the book is good enough for me to get nuggets out of and I can process them as I'm going, I might be able to implement more of them. Now, the reason a pastor said this to me 20 years ago, not Pastor Wooten, but a different pastor, said, read until you get a couple of nuggets. You can't implement more than two or three things out of a book anyway, so why worry about reading the rest of it if you've got two or three that you can really start implementing? I'm not so sure I believe in that anymore, because I believe when you pick up a book and it's called to you, God has placed that in your life for a reason, just like he's placed certain people in your life for a reason. And so the problem is we think we need to pick up a book and sit down and read it in 8 hours or 4 days, and then we need to be as changed like the start of that book versus the end of that book, like that author was, that took him 8 years to live that out, or took her 20 years to develop that message. We think that should happen to us while we're actually reading the book for those 3 or 4 days. So we don't take the time to digest it, right? We think it's nourishment that is immediate. It's instant protein to our body. And there may be points that are, but the whole book is not going to be. So journaling allows us to slow down and focus our thoughts, to unplug, to disconnect, right, from all the other things that are going on. Specifically, as you pray and meditate on the scriptures. Of course, I personally use journaling as a means to write out my prayers, and many times those prayers come out as poems. I don't do it intentionally. In fact, sometimes I try to not do it, but my line breaks start being more poetic, and it just feels right. I don't know why, but when I do it, it just feels worshipful, and so that's what I do. And so I write out my prayers a lot of times when I'm journaling. One, it slows me down. It focuses me, right, on what the Lord, what the Holy Spirit is leading me to pray. And in fact, I end up using some of those poems, hopefully to bless others at some point. Okay, so 5 is then journal to be an enduring gift. Otherwise, leave a legacy, right? Leave a legacy for your kids, your grandkids, your aunts, not your aunts, your nieces and nephews. So journal to leave a legacy. Build a monument to God's faithfulness. Introduce your great-grandchildren to your life and faith and to influence them for Christ. This is what leaving a legacy through journaling does, as long as you don't lock them with the key. So after Moses died, Joshua became the leader of the Israelites. And as they were crossing over into the promised land, because they couldn't do that while Moses was alive, right? So as they were crossing over the promised land, finally, they have a crazy time crossing over the Jordan in Joshua 3. Waters parted again for the Israelites to get them across the Jordan. And then the Lord speaks to Joshua. And so Joshua 4, 1 through 7, we have it on 2 slides. I'm going to read. So Joshua 4, 1 through 7, we hear what happened here. And so it says, when all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in times to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. And so journaling can be a memorial to those we love, to those that come after us, even if it's not our children or grandchildren. We can trust that God's going to get it to the people who need it. It can be a legacy. It can be a memorial to us when we go back and read it. It is for me many times, like I've already talked about. And so this time when they crossed the Jordan, this was a time to stop for just a moment, right? Joshua understood that. He knew that it was time to stop, take a moment, those great moments in life when these things happen. We need to stop. We need to mark these moments in time. We need to mark these events in time so that we remember them. We memorialize them. Not to worship the event or what happened at that time, but to remember what took place. And that's what Joshua did here. And that's what is leading us tonight to consider journaling as an important spiritual discipline. One thing I haven't said tonight, up here in this plastic tub, is a new guide for journaling from Celia. The last page of it is not from Celia. It's from a different resource, but I've got a note in there saying, "Hey, this is not from Celia, by the way." But I know it's something that she would approve of also. So I've got that up here. Just come and grab them after service. So as we talk about journaling as a spiritual practice, which is what I'm getting at, what I'm talking about, journaling is a way to tell your story and to challenge and instruct your children and grandchildren, friends, neighbors, and really just serve as a monument, a memorial, like Josh was talking about here, of God's faithfulness. And so even after the Israelites had set up in Gilgal, which is in verse 21, we start seeing Joshua sets up another 12 stones to memorialize the amazing works of God. And why does he do this? And this story starts in verse 21, still chapter 4. "In the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful and so that you might always fear the Lord your God.'" And so he set up a second set of stones as a memorial. And so a journal is a record of my spiritual journey. It contained my joys, right, my prayers, my laments that we talked about several weeks ago, my worship that Michelle talked about, impressions of God's place in my life, my questions to God, right? It's okay to ask questions, and it's okay if we don't get answers, even. It's not a problem. So the list can go on and on and on, of course. One of the beautiful things of journaling is that it gives you a record of your spiritual progress. You can look back at it and ask yourself about that moment in your life and see how you handled a difficult moment and grew from that experience. One of the things, many books of the Bible are really journals, and we don't really think about that. But the Psalms, right? When you read the Psalms, those are journals. David sat and wrote journals. He didn't sit down to write a song or a poem or something that would be remembered for thousands of years. He sat down. Think about this. He sat down, and he wrote what he was feeling. That's a journal. Now, we read it as Psalms, and it's this big thing that God orchestrated, and I do believe God orchestrated it, but David didn't know that. David didn't set out to write the Word of God. He sat down to just have a raw and truthful experience with what God was doing and what he was going through. Lamentations is the same way. The story of the fall of Jerusalem is recorded, right? By Jeremiah. That's why he's called the crying prophet. The Bible records the spiritual journey. Even many of Paul's letters, we gain a better understanding about how he felt about certain situations through those things. So journaling is one of the best places for charting your progress in other disciplines. We've talked about many spiritual disciplines, right? We haven't talked about fasting, but if you try fasting, you write down your experience with it, what? You're going to grow from that. You're going to know next time you fast, you're going to know what worked, what didn't work, how you felt, how you want to be challenged, maybe how God wants to challenge you in the future with it. We've talked about silence and solitude quite a bit, right? Journaling generally happens in silence and solitude as part of silence and solitude. And basically for me, it works in conjunction with silence and solitude many of the times. Any of the disciplines we've talked about, whether it's lamentations or lament, the spiritual practice of lament, it could be the daily examen, right? That's all about kind of journaling our feelings. Although it might be to certain questions, it's all about journaling our feelings, our experience. Lectio Divina, which we talked about recently. Journaling about what the Lord is showing us through the Word of God. So all of these things are ways we can journal. And so we do have a guide for you tonight. And I have asked Mike and Cynthia to let me interview them. You guys come on up. They are reluctantly agreeing. and so I'll be honest, I'm normally a preparer. I write questions down. Yeah, one of y'all sit here and one of you sit on this side of me. Come on over here, Mike. Yeah, come on over here. And so they are both journalers. I know that just from conversations. I think you've been doing it quite a while, maybe. He's relatively new to it, I would say, right? And so people on the recording can't hear. I was pointing to Cynthia and then Mike. It's the he and the her here. So I guess just start us off. And so I'm telling you right now, just being, I'm unprepared. Sorry, guys. I've talked to them a little bit. But so why don't you just start us off with kind of why do you journal? Why do you think it's important to journal?
To me, I've always liked to journal because I've always wanted to improve my memory. So I am the type that I write a lot. So I have journals in my room, in my truck, in my job, in my Jesus bag. Just any thoughts that I feel, I feel like I have to write them down. It helps me go back to reading it and seeing where I've had growth, where that's when I realized that I had anxiety. I have to just literally write everything down. So I've always said, if anybody ever sees my journals, I don't think anybody would understand them because it's just me expressing myself and talking.
Just pouring your heart out. Right. Just pouring your heart out. Yeah, great. What about you, Mike?
Yes. No, she, tremendous. No, it's true. It's true. I guess it all began. I know there are a few of us in here that have gone through the 12 step and Celebrate Recovery, where we've got booklets. And I remember the second 12 step that I went through, and I had my old books, and I looked at this one question that I had in my first 12 step. And I'll go ahead and tell you, my answer was, God, I'm giving this to you. Why aren't you doing something? And then the current one that I was going through was a totally, completely different answer. But going through the 365 chronologically, the Bible, just phenomenal. And all of them, I mean, whether it's, we have booklets for Hebrews and we have booklets for the Giants of the Faith. It has really helped me. I never journaled before coming here to Grace Point. But to write it down really helps me to remember things a lot easier and to go back to them, as Robert, you had mentioned a minute ago. And even going back to them, I'm seeing other things that I didn't realize before that I'd written down. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. And so, Mike, what would you think, like, your experience of being able to walk through that, and in the moment of remembering something, like in that recognition when you're in your second step study and you were like, oh, wow, I do remember that now, but then knowing you're at a totally different place a year later, 9 months later, whatever it was, so... What was that experience like, and how did it make you feel, and what did the Lord kind of take you through in that moment?
Oh, my. Well,
it's a big question.
It was.
No, that's
no. No, it was phenomenal. It while I hadn't realized it, I mean, the Lord had really done a great work from the first 12 step to the second 12 step. And not just that, but everything here. The unbelievable teaching and preaching that we have here, Pastor Wooten, Pastor Robert, just is phenomenal. And I never took notes before. I do it all the time now on Wednesdays. You know, I mean, I don't know. The Lord has just blossomed that part of my life, and I'm so thankful for that. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely. Well, in writing, it's proven too. And I was going to bring some science in, and I didn't do it. Actually, Celia in her guide has some science for you in regards to journaling and writing things down. So I didn't need to bring the science. Celia did. So you can read that in the guide. So do you review your writings? Do you go back at certain time frames and review what you've written? And talk to us a little bit about that and maybe how far you go back or how that makes you feel or experience and why you do that.
So I usually like to wait about 2 months. Every 2 months I like to go read back. And I just recently started doing that. When I read it, I like to put one of the words that I feel like was happening that day of how I felt. And it helps me to see how I reacted and I'm able to go back and react a different way when I come across that that situation. It is heartbreaking to see it, but it's also it's really good for me because I can see the growth in me because it's crazy. I've always told Joe, I was like, when I pass away, I need y'all to put all my books in my casket, and you're saying that we have to share them. But it's really good to be able to go back and just see for yourself the growth that you have and the relationship that you've built with God and not just yourself.
So how do you think that's impacted your spiritual relationship now, deepening it with Christ, when you're able to recognize those things? I told you I'm prepared, people, so...
It has impacted my life. I just feel like it's something I'm really proud of to be able to recognize a lot of things now than what I did even, let's say, 2-3 months ago. So. It is a big difference.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's, thank you guys. I think we'll call that good. Thank you so much. Yeah, let's give them a hand. I texted them last night, actually, and they said, sure, yeah. They didn't even know what they were getting into, mostly. You know, I think it's a way to celebrate, and I think Cynthia alluded to that, right? It's a way to, one way to celebrate what God has done in our life. And recognize how we are letting him work, right? How we're pursuing him, even. And that is something we can be proud of because we can be proud in the ways we pursue God. It's not the same as being prideful. It's not the same as not being humble, right? Because we know where our hope comes from. And so I think it is a great way to celebrate, great way to remember. And so, you know, journaling is not hard, and it doesn't have to be this big formal thing. Celia, in her guide, she'd walk you through, hey, how to pick a journal even. She likes to make it fun. She loves to pick beautiful journals because if she spends some money on it, she's going to value it more. It's going to be something that is a part of her life. She wants to pick it up and put stuff inside it so she can enjoy the beauty inside it as much as she does the beauty on the outside of it. And so I thought that was very cool. So she just leads you through 3 or 4 possible exercises to help you pick a journal. You may want to go to Amazon and buy a dollar, you know, cardboard cover journal. Or you probably can't get it for a dollar unless you buy 30 or 40 of them at a time. But if you're going to be doing it the rest of your life, go ahead and buy 30 or 40 of them. I meant to bring mine tonight, but I decided not to after thinking about it. It's just a nice, not my Behold journal. Here's the thing. My Behold journal was given to me. It's a nice leather, ancient type leather, and it's almost too nice to put regular things in. So I've decided, unlike Celia, it's a little too nice to use for just my regular thoughts. And so, but I do have a specific journal I like that I buy, and it is $15 or $18, but it's worth it. Sometimes it holds 60, 90 days worth of thoughts. Sometimes it holds 6 or 9 months. Depends on the season of my life, right? At one point, it held 2 years worth of my thoughts because I did not journal very often. But it's still good because I know that particular journal, it's so much better than going back and getting a spiral notebook. I hate picking up my spiral notebooks now to read my entries. But, you know, sitting down and writing out our thoughts, even if it's just our thoughts about journaling, like, I don't know why I'm doing this. If you're just getting started and you're just write about why am I doing this? And if you don't know why, that's okay. Just write it out. When words don't come to you, just jot down a few words. Oftentimes, I just write down an emotion or two that I'm thinking, Lord, just something I want to take to the Lord. You mentioned like writing down a word or two. And so sometimes I just write down an emotion like, Lord, I think I'm feeling sad. So I'll write down sad. And so I'm saying this to him, you know, prayerfully. But if I write down sad or, you know, mad about something or angry, just writing that down, the Lord can start working. And so maybe it's just one word to start working in you. The Lord will open up kind of this river, or maybe not even a river, maybe not even a stream, maybe just a little creek, you know, with a little stagnating water or something. But he wants to get that stuff out of us. And so in stillness, in silence, in solitude, those things all go in conjunction, work in conjunction with journaling lots of times. And so I just urge you to give it a try. And so God wants us to remember our moments. He wants us to remember the good, the bad. He wants us to remember where we've come from. He wants us to visualize where we're going, which we can do in journals. But he also wants us to remember the growth, because out of those seasons of maybe wrong decisions or more challenging decisions, when we journal about those, and Cynthia said something about sometimes it grieves her, right? Sometimes she's sad about those things, but it brings us into a place that God can remind us of the growth we're experiencing, and the ways we're pursuing him is working. And so it's great to be reminded of that. The Lord wants us to remember those things and wants to speak through those things. And so he wants us to memorialize those things. Some of us may have great memories. I do not. And so I choose to journal. And so just like the Israelites did at the Jordan River, when they put the 12 stones together to symbolize and remember the great works of God, we need ways to do that in our life. And for me, journaling is that way. And so I urge you to give it a try if you haven't done it, or if you haven't done it in a while. So come up and get a guide here in just a moment. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you tonight, and we just ask you, Lord, what is it that you want each of us to do individually, Lord, to remember the things you're bringing us through? What is it that you want us to memorialize, and how do you want us to memorialize it, Lord? Lord, speak to us in how you've designed us individually to memorialize the things that you're taking us through, the challenges, the seasons you've brought us through, and how you've done it, how you've blessed our life. Lord, how are we to be grateful, not only verbally, but how are we to remember those things? Lord, how do you want to use journaling in our lives? Lord, what does that look like for each of us individually? And so I just pray as we leave here, God, that you will speak to each of us and continue to speak to each of us over the next day or two or three, or week or two. Lord, as we seek you in ways to remember all that you're doing in the past, but also all that you're going to do, Father, and help us celebrating the things that you bring us through on a regular basis, Father. So I just ask you to be with each of us tonight as we leave here. Help us to keep our minds and our ears and our eyes open, and that we just may hear from you how you want us to move forward in this practice of memorializing you, whether it's journaling, whether it's audio recordings, whatever it might be, God, voice memos on our phones. Lord, we know all the capacities, Lord, so bring the one to mind that you would have us try. God, we just thank you for all that you're doing in our life, all that you're doing in our church and in our community, and we just thank you and praise you for it all. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Y'all have a good night.